Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for March 21st. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me this Saturday morning is Jim Allen. How you doing, bud? You looking good?
Well, that's a vote of confidence.
For all the stories I heard before we started taping, you look pretty good.
Okay, well, you've deleted one of me. So I was having an identity crisis on John's computer. Apparently there were two of me. Which is like two too many. So,
well, I could get one of them to be quiet, but the other one just kept on talking.
Wonder which one got deleted.
All right, on this week's show, we're going to talk about pitching. We're going to talk about the newest foreign skipper and answer a listener question. Before Michael Westbay and NPB tracker Patrick Newman join us to discuss our predictions for the Central League pennant. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I wanted to broach this topic or bring it up because last year on one of the shows you'd mentioned the fact that Dennis Sarfati of the SoftBank Hawks was really good last year and you were starting to come around in terms of not giving more importance to relief pitching or what they do, but actually acknowledging that he was really good and one of the top pitchers in the Pacific League. And then you said it again recently, so I wanted to bring it up. And yeah, I remember we had a little bit of a debate in 2011. I remember saying, you know, Takuya Asao had a huge impact on the Dragons winning the Central League pennant. He won the MVP award in 2011. He had all these appearances. He had a great ERA. So I wanted to discuss this because you made the comment that Dennis Sarfati was probably the best pitcher in the Pacific League last year, and it piqued my interest. So I just wanted to know your feelings and what you're looking at because our longtime listeners know I love my bullpens, and I like the guys who come in and actually contribute to winning games, and that's something that Asao did a lot of in 2011.
As opposed to the guys who come out and don't actually contribute to winning games. That's always where it gets me. Nothing's really changed. Nothing's changed in the way I interpret pitchers. Okay? Mm-hmm. See, that's where you have to start with. What has changed is the way pitchers have been used in NPB. Okay. Starting pitchers aren't getting as many innings. Starting pitchers have been pitching fewer innings. And a couple of relievers have been really, really good, I mean, compared to those starters, and that's why they were more valuable, because they were throwing up lots of innings and lots of, like, hyper-quality innings.
Uh-huh.
So when Takuya Asao won the MVP, you know, he wasn't I don't think he was probably the best pitcher in the league, but in this case, Sarfati, I think, was really the best pitcher in the league. I mean, first half he wasn't, because nobody was better than Ohtani in the first half of last year. But Sarfati was effective, you know, from start to finish, and he was really, really good. And he struck out a lot of guys, and that's a huge thing, is how little you have to rely on your defense.
Right, and I mean, my thinking and my rationale in that time for Asao was that he had pitched in 79 games that year, and it was either a team record or a league record at the time. And my point was, and I think I told you, because I remember the pitching coach at the time, Morty, he's now the bench coach with the Dragons, he said, and there was some time where they wanted to make him a starter. I think that was a couple years before this.
When he began his career, he was a starter, yeah.
Right, but then he wanted to go back to starting pitching at some point after that. And Morty, I talked with him, and he said, well, yeah, he wants to be a starting pitcher because he wants to basically goof off for 6 days a week and then pitch.
You know?
That's what Morty told me. And so I
thought he wanted to be a starting pitcher because his mom wouldn't let him out of the house every night. That's because when he turned pro, he looked like he was about 13 years old and needed permission to be at the ballpark after 9 p.m.
Right. Okay. I remember you saying that before. But here's my thing. So he wanted to, I mean, Morty's telling me that he wanted to goof around and just get his work in for 6 days. Now, you always talk about the number of innings that these guys, these starting pitchers pitch. But another way to look at it is that these relief pitchers have to be available every day, basically. I mean, They don't know who they. I mean, the starters know who they're going to face basically, and they know when they're going to pitch. But as a reliever, you could go to the ballpark and you don't know if you're going to work that day or not. And so you've got to be prepared mentally and physically to go out there and do your job. And while you're not working, you're not carrying the load of these innings, you're still available every day on a daily basis. In 79 games, that was more than half of their games. Mm. And he impacted, you know, I went through the numbers that year. I think he had pitched in 10 tie games, 12 losses, 57 victories, 36 one-run games.
Mm.
So they went 27-9 in his 87 and a third innings. So my point was, if there was somebody else who could throw some of those innings for us out, then they would have put him in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was that valuable to the team that they called on him that many times and asked him to throw that many innings. So my point,
decided that the rest of his career wasn't worth a damn.
Well, that's what it's ended up being. But,
I know. I'm just being mean in retrospect because.
But look at Yoshimi. Yoshimi was the other candidate we were talking about, and his career is in the same situation. So I think they're both in the same spot. So,
Fair enough. And
you could argue that they both carried the same amount of weight. So I'm just saying, when you have to pitch every day and you have to get mentally ready and you have to be physically ready, I think that's just as valuable as throwing the 200 innings that you're talking about with a starter, because you're impacting those games. And my case is always, look, we're all about winning games, not putting up numbers or being able to stick a flag in the ground and say, look, I carried us to this point, now you guys take us the rest of the way. You know, I always talk about the fact that somebody's got to get that hit, somebody's got to make that shot, somebody's got to get that goal to get the team into that winning situation, or else you end up being called losers. So somebody's got to do it. It's not like, you know, well, this team is good and eventually somebody was going to do it. Somebody's got to step up and do it, and this guy contributed. So I'm looking at Sarfate and I'm thinking, well, yeah, he saved a lot of games and he was very valuable. And I think we're actually in the Central League this year with the departure of Tony Barnett. We're going to have a really good study case to look at and how important the bullpen can be on a team.
Well, that's assuming that they don't have some, you know, that Andrasek doesn't, you know, make three more adjustments to NPB and become the next Tony Barnett.
Well, who's going to be the next Andrasek?
That is a good question, but I think the answer is Ryoho Akiyoshi, who I think is probably going to be end up being their closer eventually.
Because
I think he's the best. But here's the other thing is, yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, and I don't want to discount your – because what you said is valid. All those things are important to actually being doing it. The only problem is if you're going to do that, you have to do what you did with Asau, and you have to not only do it with Asau but do it with everybody who's a contender.
Which is?
Oh, go through and see how they impacted each and every – you know, how many games they impacted. You can't just hold up Asau as saying, well, he did all this. I'm not discounting what you did. I'm just saying that the difficulty with doing that is the late 70s, when the Yankees had a bullpen of Ron Davis and the setup guy and Goose Gossage, and the broadcasters for every Yankees postseason game would say the Yankees won 94% of the games in which they held a lead after the seventh inning. See, and it's everybody went, wow. But what was unsaid is that the major league average at that time was about 88%.
Right.
So what I'm saying is not that your interpretation of a sow is wrong. I think it's admirable. But what I'm saying is, unless you compare it to everybody else, it's a one side, you know, it's a one sided advertising for a sow, and and there's truth in that advertising, but I'm saying it's in when you're doing the MVP, you have to compare these people.
Right.
That's a weak spot in that, is that you're not comparing everybody. You're only comparing one person and saying, wow, isn't this impressive? And it is impressive.
Right. And it was. He had a 0.41 ERA. He struck out a bunch of guys. I mean, he had a fantastic
And he was a Golden Glove pitcher for fielding 14 balls.
I remember that too. But I'm just thinking that roles are important, and the goal is to win. So, you know, the starters don't pitch complete games every time, even though they pitch a lot of innings and they carry a heavy load. And it's not about who carries the heavy load or who gets the package 70% of the way. When you're waiting for a package, you just want the package to arrive.
Well, see,
that's what counts. Did the package arrive or not?
I'm gonna use my first slander word. That's the myopia of the finished statistic, which is, oh, the guy who finishes is more important than the guy who starts. That's the guy who goes 0 for 20 through the first three quarters is more important than the guy who scores 40 points because he lit it up in the fourth quarter.
No, and that's what I mean earlier. I mean, somebody's got to make that winning shot. So if you make the winning shot, you get a lot of credit. Now, I'm not saying that they're more important, and I think I remember saying on the show that it takes everybody.
But the winning shot could be in the first inning. You know, but the winning shot doesn't have to be in the end, is what I'm saying. A first inning is generally not a high leverage inning.
Right.
Because it only is in retrospect. Well, see, this is the thing. The first inning, second inning, the first through the seventh innings are important in retrospect. Whereas the ninth inning, when you know it's on the line, you know what it's there.
Right.
I mean, if you stomp a rally in the first inning that could have cost you five runs, there ain't no ninth inning.
Right. And
But then the closer comes on in a one run game instead of not coming in because they're trailing by four runs. So we don't see that. And what I'm saying is that, and my argument for my comparison is not that what you're saying is not important, is that, and not that it does not exist, but I'm saying you also need, you know, you need some sort of way to evaluate everybody in the field or every candidate in the field. And unless you're going to do that, all I can do with a Sal's number and say, yeah, that's valid in his case, but it doesn't say anything about anybody else.
Right.
So you see where I'm coming from. So basically, you know, what you did was admirable in the sense of the research and the work you put in and your evaluation. And there's nothing wrong with your point that somebody has to do the shot. My point is that you can't always see where the shot is, except in the ninth inning, except in high leverage innings where it's obvious.
Right.
And so basically you discount a lot of things that make that possible. So anyway, I think that's your point is accurate in that sense, but you also have to apply the logic all the way across the games and to all the way across a league, and it makes it very difficult. Now, my case is I was evaluating Sarfate based on the same evaluations I evaluate all the pitchers. Mm-hmm. You get credit for pitching in more high leverage situations. But and again, the problem with that analysis is nobody really knows how much valuable those innings are. Are they two times more valuable, which was sort of a barrier? Bill James has suggested that they might be as much as three times more valuable in some instances. And I think also another thing that has happened, I think while my analysis hasn't changed, another thing has happened is in the last 4 years, Japanese managers are tending to use their best relievers. They're not waiting for a save situation.
Yeah.
So they've gone to the sort of the sabermetric way of let's bring him in, you know, let's bring in the good guy with, because A, he hasn't worked in 2 days, and we're trailing by a run in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And we got our big hitters coming up. So
yeah, I've noticed that, and I've noticed exactly what you said there, was that some of the lineup, where the opponent is in the lineup seems to have a bearing on when they decide to bring in some of their better pitchers. And, of course, you know, the score and the situation and all those things. But I've noticed that as well. And that just, to me, that just says, okay, well, it's these guys are important. And I love the fact that they have roles, and I know the starters have their roles and the relievers have their roles. And some guys are just basically brought in to maybe get one or two guys out. But I like that aspect of the game because, you know, I like thinking strategy and thinking, okay, who's a good matchup for this particular batter? And
my long-standing issue with, you know, naming a relief pitcher as the Cy Young Award winner or as an MVP is that, well, why don't you have a pinch hitter as an MVP? because you're putting, you know, if there are guys who could reasonably be argued because they batted in such high leverage situations so often and did so well that you could argue, but nobody buys that.
Yeah, and I think we discussed it on that show, as I recall, and I said, yeah, well, you know, the pinch hitter comes in and faces one pitcher at one at bat, but the reliever, more especially the closer, faces more than that. He faces three guys, and he's got to get, he might face more than three guys actually if he gives up some runners or if he pitches more than one inning. So yeah, I didn't like that analogy, but well, I understand.
But it's a similar analogy.
That's as close as you can get as on the.
Well, I mean, it's a similar analogy if the guy's getting one at bat a game to a guy who's getting four at bats a game or three at bats a game.
Right.
You know, if a batter can be an MVP, but of course there's a whole slew of other issues, and especially with a pinch hitter, in that the relief pitcher actually has to play defense.
All right, so
let's move on.
Yeah, let's see what happens with your Swallows bullpen, because I think it's going to be interesting. In fact, how it impacts and how the changes. And I did see a note the other day in Sports Hochi that said that they're going to just go with four guys right now at the start. And I thought, oh gosh, that's interesting. But that should be fun too, because the opponents have to do their homework on all those guys and figure out who they might be facing in those leverage situations.
This is Japan. This is Japan. They do their homework on all the guys they're going to be facing anyway, because they say, here's more homework for tomorrow's game. Well, thanks, coach.
All right. Another topic that I wanted to talk about, and actually I think you wanted to talk about, but I wanted to talk about it as well, is...
well, that's a lucky coincidence.
Making a two-seam transition is Alex Ramirez as the manager, or the new manager, the latest foreign manager in NPB with the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars. And you talked to him. I read your blog post about him. It's really going to be an interesting year for him. Why did you want to bring this topic to the table?
Well, it's a good question, because his, you know, we both talked to him, and Jason had talked to him in the past, and you know, his thoughts about what it means to be a Japanese manager, and those came up again last year. Not when he was with Oryx, but because of your interview with Julio Franco, and some of the things Franco said were 180 degrees apart from what Ramirez was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about that afterwards, you know, the bit about, you know, you're making sure the pitchers should throw fastballs in fastball situations. And I say fastball situations, I mean American baseball fastball situations.
Right.
As you know, calling it a fastball situation is sort of, I don't know, culturally biased, don't you think?
Yeah, Western.
Western. So we talked about that, and we talked about a few things. But I was thinking about one of the things with Alex Ramirez is his fundamental issue was trying to find ways of tweaking the Japanese approach to the game so that it could incorporate learning from the West, and you know, and sort of doing things differently. He's felt for years that because of his experience, he could sort of integrate new ways, slip little cookies in there, you know, like little viral apps into the training program, you know, that they would, you know, their immune system against strange and invasive ideas would say, oh, this looks Japanese, we'll accept it. And then all of a sudden they start playing like foreigners.
Right, right. It looks so Japanese, let's accept it.
Well, you know. Oh, wait, running. Okay, good. Running, good. Okay, let's do it. Hey, this is different. Wait, but we're running. Okay. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch, and how he's different in his approaches, and that's really what I want to watch. But the thing that you talked about on your blog post was the fact that he didn't know how to exchange the lineup cards, and I thought it's that sort of thing, or I shouldn't say that he didn't know. He wasn't sure about it. He wasn't sure about it. Everybody knows how to exchange lineup cards.
Right, here, take this.
he didn't know that there was
a protocol. An
order. Yeah.
Exactly. He doesn't know the protocols.
Right.
Exactly, which is funny, and even...
For me, it was that sort of thing, those little aspects of him being a manager for the first time. You know, he has long studied Japanese baseball. He's long been a part of it. And yet there's these little issues and these little tiny nuances that he has no idea that there was something that in place. There was a protocol in place. There's a way of doing things. And so I watch as he goes through this, and I know that thinking about the strategy, game strategy, and his focus is going to be on his players and how they're approaching the game and all that stuff. But these little things are going to pop up, crop up here and there. When, how far you go out to the mound before it becomes a trip to the mound to visit your pitcher, or you know, all these little things that he has never done in the heat of battle. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, I mean, he observes all that, you know, from the sideline. I think he's going to know a lot of it. I think what that states to is that he's never paid careful attention to how lineups are exchanged and umpires are greeted at home plate, or I guess the other thing he mentioned was that he thought it would be easy changing players, but he had to do it in Japanese, and it was sort of like it was like walking and chewing bubblegum at the same time. Although that's a mean analogy, it was easier than it looked.
Right.
So getting his point across and speaking Japanese in a situation when he had to be hyper efficient and couldn't afford to be, to fall back. So, but he's got it now. It's just the shock of, you know, it was harder, more difficult than he thought. I think there's going to be a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to how he handles the pitchers, but I think the biggest thing is how he handles the catchers. And the thing I was thinking about that I would you mentioned sneaking in a cookie, or yeah, that sounds Japanese. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a catcher on his roster whose offensive skills he doesn't really like that much, but he likes as a defensive catcher, and that he might be one of the first managers to bring in a closer on the mound and a closing catcher. Because I know how he thinks about catchers and how important those guys are, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him do something like that.
Well, that's not a new thing, and in fact, Motonobu Taneshiga, the Dragons manager, was in part of a longtime catching platoon for much of his career with Yokohama, with a fellow named Akimoto, who I believe now is a coach with the Cebu Lions, or had been a coach with the Cebu Lions.
Well, what I mean is just, you know, when you change the pitcher in the eighth or the ninth inning, that you've changed, he might change the catcher as well.
Well, he did. Yeah. Well, I mean, the other part of that combination, which I didn't quite get to, was that he did do that sometimes when he had a late inning. And we have seen that in the past. And I think that might work because he's trying to bring up all these guys and he's still sorting through them. Basically, his goal, he told me, was to get the catchers to call their own games. And he was very impressed with how far along they've come.
Yeah, I did see something about that on the news. Yeah, I did see something about that.
Yeah, Yasutaka Tobashira, who's an older rookie, and Alex told me that he really liked some of his pitch selections. You know, one time he was on the bench and he said he was talking with the battery coach, Mitsuyama, and they're saying, "What's your pitch here? Slider?" "Yeah, I think slider too." And then the guy called a fastball, and he says, and it worked perfectly. They got the best result possible. And they said afterwards, "Hey, why'd you call fastball?" And he says, "We were thinking slider." He says, "Yeah, I was thinking slider too, but this guy had a really good swing on one of his sliders before. And so we were set up for a slider, but we decided to go with a fastball." Anyway, so he goes, "Wow, that was good."
All right, a couple of notes. The gambling situation, as of taping, and I haven't checked the news this morning here on Saturday, but I think four teams have talked about exchanges of money, and basically would equate to six now? Seven.
Seven.
Seven, says Jim. So the last time I checked, or when I put these notes together.
Four Central League and three in the Pacific. Three in the Central League and four in the Pacific League.
Yeah, basically something that equates to office pools.
Not even an office pool. It's like they're basically trying to get the guys to give fiery pregame speeches.
Yeah. So that situation continues. And then a leaner-looking Kazuhiro Kiyohara was released from jail on bail, and so that's going to be a long saga. And I hear he's taking bets on how long a sentence he's going to get if he eventually is found guilty. But
ow.
Hashtag high heat.
Let's go to fielding questions. The question this week is from Ray Villa. It's via Twitter. Wow, via. Who has the better upside and chance on playing in MLB? Is it Louis Okoye of Rakuten or Taiga Hirasawa of Lotte? And I'll take this one first. The thing I've seen with Okoye is that he has, you know, standout physical ability. You can see that right away. You can see the speed. You can see the athleticism. And that's why I said at the beginning of camp that, you know, it's in-your-face, obvious talent that he has, but it's raw. And it needs to be polished. And once he gets there, it's going to be good. And then Hirasawa has really good body control, really good dexterity, and those are good qualities, and they're also obvious. So to compare the two, because the one's an infielder, Hirasawa plays on the infield, Okoye is an outfielder, I think it's difficult to compare with those positions. So I'm just going to look at the offense and what I think I can see, and that is that Okoye seems to have put in some of the things that he's implemented what he's been learning in camp at the plate. And he's making a lot of contact, and that's going to help him. If he can continue to do that, I would say he has the upside. I think he'll eventually hit with some power. He's going to steal some bases. He can be a very dynamic player. Hirasawa hasn't hit yet, but I think he will. And you know, he's going to be able to find gaps, and he's going to do well. So I would say Okoye. I know that MLB teams were interested in him before the amateur draft last year, so I'm sure they'll keep an eye on him. Jim?
Yeah, I'm in the same quandary. See, we're in the same boat in some ways. You know, I just don't. It's hard to compare them. One of these guys has a beautiful natural swing. The other guy is a fast learner. And fast with Okoye is everything. But, you know, how it's going to play out, I couldn't really tell you. Okoye is 6 months older. That could be the huge difference between
them. I thought he was four.
Oh, is he 4 months older?
Four or five. Let's split the difference.
Okay. Yeah, so he's older, so that's a drawback at this age when you're 18 or 19. That's a fairly large gap. But does he have more upside? He's going to play defense, which means he's going to get more playing time. He's going to need more adjustments, but he's at an age where he can make the adjustments. Whereas Hirasawa is never going to be a good fielder. You know, you just don't become a really good fielder unless you're like a really good fielding first baseman.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know. You say never. I say he can learn. They can go through. I mean, he's still a kid. Get his footwork in order.
Okay, but he's not gonna be a gold glove in a valuable defensive position.
Okay. Let's put it that way. You can say that. I'm gonna say give him time. He's still a kid.
What's his position anyway? I've only seen his position.
That's another question.
You know what position? What mythical position is he actually going to play?
His position at the moment was farm team. So, but yeah. I think he'll be back, and I think he can't be any worse than Suzuki. So.
Oh, okay. Well, in which case, yeah, he might find a home at second base or third base or something. Yeah, it's hard to say, but at this age, you really want a guy who can field, because by the time they're 27, they're going downhill on their fielding. Okay. So who's got the bigger major league upside? I would say Okoye, because also, as you said, he's on scouts' radar, which is a huge thing.
All right. Making a four-seam transition, I'd like to welcome to the show NPB tracker Patrick Newman. Thank you for joining us, buddy.
Thank you for having me, as usual.
And Michael Westbay, our man behind everything.
It's good to be here.
And he runs the JapaneseBaseball.com site as well, and is into so many projects I can't even begin to explain. But one of them is trying to help John figure out the computer systems.
You'll get there.
1 year. No, I won't say one day. All right, so let's talk about our predictions for the Central League. Okay. And I think trying to predict upsets and surprises is like the weather report when they say there's a 50% chance of rain, because that's basically the weather agency admitting it has no idea what's happening. And I'm saying that because I'm saying based on what we think we know, this is what we anticipate happening. But, of course, we don't really know what we think we know. And the Central League looks really bad this year. I think we have a lot of ugly rotations, ugly lineups, unattractive defenses, and a bunch of veiled managers who we don't know what to expect from. So anyway, Central League, we're going to start with Jim and the Yakult Swallows.
Thanks. Thanks for starting with me. Okay. The Yakult Swallows key newcomers, Kyle Davies, Tomotaka Sakaguchi, who's interesting, Luis Perez, and I think Juri Hara, who was a top draft pick.
Okay.
The key departures, I guess Tony Barnett looms pretty large in that group.
Yeah, I think.
We would say lastings millage, but he didn't leave a lastings impression.
Oh, nice.
I knew that one was coming. I waited 3 years.
That's low heat right there.
Low and slow, babe. Okay. The expected rotation. The Swallows have a lot of option for the end of the rotation, but it looks like Yasuhiro Ogawa, Masanori Ishikawa, Hirofumi Yamanaka, Shohei Tateyama, and Kyle Davies. That's five. And now the problem is they've got about four other guys who are trying to be number six. And Yoshihisa Naruse has had a very good spring, which means nothing. But, you know, I shouldn't say it means nothing. It means that he's still in the running for the last spot.
Don't start my laugh tracks.
Arakaki doesn't fit quite into that category. Sugiura, who a lot of people do like. I mean, Tateyama doesn't either. He's had a lousy spring, but they're going to use him anyway.
Okay.
But Juri Hara has been very impressive. So I think that'll be the rotation. It's not terrible. I think they have a lot of options, and I think their starting pitching should be pretty good. Okay. Probably be better than last year because they won't start the season, I think, depending on Naruse and Arakaki. So, strengths, I guess Tetsuto Yamada.
Oh, yeah. That might be their biggest strength.
I mean, when you've got the best player in NPB, you know, in your lineup, and he's 23 years old still, we don't know how much better he can be. He didn't look like he could be any better 2 years ago, but he proved me wrong.
Mm.
The coaching conditioning staff are really, really good. And I think having Obiki at shortstop is an advantage. For a weakness, I think having Obiki bat is the weakness.
Wow, you're tugging at the guy here.
Well, you know, he's...
You're a weakness and a strength.
Well, he is, because his bat is a weakness, and his being he's like a coach, you know, having a fielding coach in the middle of the infield. But I do like him, but, you know, he's a two-edged sword or a two-edged shortstop or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, he improves the pitcher's ERA while dropping the overall team offense.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Yakult led the Central League in offense last year basically with three good hitters.
Yep.
With Kawabata getting on base and Yamada getting on base and then some, and then Hatakeyama hitting behind them and cleaning all that up. And the rest of the hitters were... I don't know if they had another average hitter in the lineup. So, you know,
they have certainly, I guess you could also count as a strength Vladimir Ballantyne, because he has a potential to be a lot better than he was last year.
Right. Well, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, he has a potential of actually.
If he plays, he'll be better.
Exactly.
Okay, so where do you have him finishing?
I have him finishing third.
Okay. All right, Patrick?
Yeah, so first of all, a bit of context. I made my picks by Ouija this year.
Okay, good.
I just put my hands on the keyboard and let them type, and then what came out looked okay, and I didn't change it. So, so I have them at fourth.
I like it.
It's as good as anything. Last week, and you're stealing my material. I want royalties.
I want royalties from the other one. Anyway. From Power Tracks. So yeah, cool. I don't know. I kind of saw them as a 500 team last year, or maybe slightly better, that benefited from the rest of the league kind of underperforming. So I have them fourth. You know, I think any one of the top five teams in the Central could win the division, the league, if enough things go right. And I guess I just thought the teams ahead of them are more likely to have things go right for them. Mm-hmm. So they've got a lot of things to like, but they've got some weaknesses. They're going to miss Barnett. They've got some holes at the back of the lineup, and I have them fourth.
Okay. Michael?
As for me, your Colts just can't seem to historically repeat 2 years in a row, so I'm dropping them to fourth as well.
Wow. All right. That's pretty succinct, but that's a good reason, as good a reason as any. I think the loss of Barnett is eventually going to impact the entire pitching staff. And we talked about it before before you guys joined us, that they're going to have, at the beginning, a stopper by committee or closer by committee, and they're going to have four guys at the back of the bullpen. And I don't know that that's a bad idea. It might be really good. I don't know. I'm going to keep with my theme from last week, that defense and arms in the outfield and the middle infielders' arms are important. And all those things are really good for the Swallows, but I think it was Eddie Murphy's law last year for them. Anything that could go really well and could be made into a really good time happened for them. And Takayama hitting well the entire season just about and staying healthy as long as he did. And the game three of the Japan series, where the Tetsuto game where he had the record-setting three-homer game, I think all that stuff was really good. And then all of a sudden, they couldn't win anymore. And I think that's what's going to play out this year, that they're going to have some good times, but eventually they're going to miss out on the playoffs and finish fourth. All right, I've got the Giants. Their newcomers are Garrett Jones and Luis Cruz, who comes over from the Lotte Marines. And I'm going to say the new skipper, Yoshinobu Takahashi, is a newcomer. And then Shinosuke Shigenobu, the fast rookie they brought in. And then Toshiki Sakurai, because he's probably going to be in the rotation as a rookie pitcher. Key departures, they're losing their current manager, Yoshinobu Takahashi, who was a really good pinch hitter for them last year. And then most of the guys who are gone are imports who just really didn't produce that much, including Juan Francisco and Frederick Cepeda. The rotation I'm anticipating is Tomoyuki Sugano, Aaron Pareda, Hayato Takagi possibly, Kazuto Taguchi, and then there's just a bunch of other guys. I don't know when Miles Michaelis is going to come back. He's in the States getting checked out.
He just came back.
He did come back.
I think he's just come back.
I heard he was. They didn't know how long he was going to be out. Okay, well, who knows how long he's going to be out or what he's going to be.
Enough.
He's got an injury. I think they're okay pitching. They had mediocre hitting last year. In fact, Chunichi and Hanshin, and then the Giants is where they ranked in terms of hitting last year. But they had pretty good defense. Things that have changed, I think Pareto was right in the middle of the pack, and Taguchi was okay. But they just couldn't hit consistently and score runs. But they caught the ball better than anybody else in the Central League last year. And I think this kid, Kazuma Okamoto, who I said last year was probably the best player they drafted, he's probably going to get an everyday role at third, and that means growing pains and all this other stuff that goes along with putting a young player in there. Murata is not the future. He's just a safety net, and he's going to probably be there if they need him. Blah, blah, blah. I don't really see that much. I think Cruz is going to help, and he's going to help keep them in playoff contention, and they're going to finish third. Patrick.
So I had them first, actually. The Ouija board told me they were going to finish first.
You need to burn that Ouija board.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I kid.
Well, we'll see. We'll burn it at the end of the season if it doesn't work out. So I think the question mark for me is, how dark is the clouds over their head with this whole gambling scandal that's breaking? I think it could almost be a unifying thing if Takahashi can unify the team underneath that, or it could break them apart and they could have one of the worst years in Giants history. So it remains to be seen. Last year they took the pennant race down to the last week of the season or thereabouts, and they really had a lot of guys underperform relative to what we're used to seeing, whether it was Chono or Abe or Sakamoto, and I really like the addition of Garrett Jones. I think he'll hit really well for them. And if the pitching does more or less what it did last year and those guys go back towards their career norms, I think that that they'll be in good shape, at least on the field. So I have him first.
Okay. Michael?
Well, you know, with the scandals and all, the Giants seem to go through this every year at about Japan series time and opening. It's as though the Yakuza who have befriended Giants save it up for these two moments in time to try to blackmail them, and the players decide that instead of being blackmailed, they'll confess. And it seems like almost every year, even back since Kiyohata's days, they would do this at the end of the season and the beginning of the season. and it has affected the team zero. It has not affected them at all. So I really don't see these scandals having any effect. However, I do place them at number two this year.
Two? Second?
Yes. Chono and all of them, they are going to continue to at least haunt my Bay Stars. Man, those guys just... Ah! But, yeah, Yoshinobu is a smart guy. He's... and the organization itself, as you guys were saying last year, it's an organization that runs the team, more so than any individual. So they've still got the organization in there. They've got the players, and they're just going to come up a little short.
Okay. Interesting. Mm. Jim?
Well, it's not a Ouija board, but it might as well be.
Why?
Well, I do. I think, Michael, you use and you try to come up with an algorithm every year.
Not this year.
Oh, okay. Well, in general, I do every year. And my one this year, which I won't go into the details because, A, they're boring, and, B, they probably are meaningless. Mine had the Giants finishing second by a very narrow margin. But I thought, well, what that doesn't take into effect is any of the new players' losses or additions. And I had to think, Kenta Maeda has got to be worth something. So, given the loss of Kenta Maeda and given the fact that the Giants were picked just a hair, like 0.008 winning percentage points behind them, actually that's 0.008 of the winning percentage, I put the Giants in first. The essence of mine is that the Giants, as I've been telling, the Giants, I mean, have a proven track record of outperforming their predictions. Now, last year I predicted them last, and they played like it for half a season. This year, I think they have enough. They finished poorly, which helps the team. They've got a lot of changes. A new manager doesn't really help, but he'll help compared to Hara, who is really running out of steam. So I see him finishing first by a hair.
Yeah, that's interesting because the two first place votes, and I was telling you guys all week. I think that I kept flip-flopping on all my picks, but these teams were so close that, I mean, last year they were all so close that it could be anything. In fact, Jim looked up the numbers, and it was the 1990s that the Central League finished with the first place team being fewer than 15 games apart from the last place team. So it was really close. It was the closest it's been for a long time. So this is no shock that we have a little bit of a different take on this, but I'm surprised that the Giants are getting this much love. All right, Tigers, Patrick.
Okay, the Tigers. So for me, the additions start with new manager Tomoaki Kanemoto, who seems to be drawing a lot of attention. Then we have sort of a rebuilt bullpen core with Akifumi Takahashi, the left-hander coming over from Chunichi. Rafael Dolis and Marcos Mateo, who I believe were both with the Padres last year,
mm-hmm.
although I could be wrong about that.
I know Mateo was, yeah.
Yeah, and Dolis, I'm not sure about. Tigers, maybe. And then Kyuji Fujikawa, who is returning from his odyssey in Major League Baseball and Shikoku Island League. Then for the offensive side of the ball, I have Matt Haig, the third baseman, who's, again, really seems to be quite keen on being in Japan, and draft pick Shun Takayama, the outfielder. As for the losses the subtractions, manager Yutaka Wada steps aside, closer Oh-Sang Wong, and outfielder Matt Merton, who was exiled back to the Cubs. So for the rotation, I think this is kind of an interesting rotation. It starts with some real strengths with Randy Messenger and Shintaro Fujinami. Then we move into this veteran left-hander division, Atsushi Nomi and Minoru Iwata.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have three kind of question marks. So we have Kyuji, who's moving into the rotation, and then two younger players, Akiyama. What's it? Takumi Akiyama?
Takumi Akiyama.
And Yokoyama, the draft pick, the second rounder of this year. So those guys. So I think they're strong 1 through 4, but 5 and 6 are kind of question marks for me. So the strengths and weaknesses, I like their starting pitching depth. I think they've got some interesting emerging players. Whether it's Takayama or the infielder Hojo or the pitchers Sayuchi and Akiyama and other outfielder Yokota. So any of those emerging players could be interesting. As for the weaknesses, so this team, I think, really struggled offensively last year, and they also struggled to win and compete. there were a lot of close games, low-scoring games that they just couldn't find a way to win, where you had guys like Messenger and Fujinami putting up good performances, and they couldn't just put those runs on the board to win. I had some observation that they had some horrible record in games where they had scored fewer than four runs, and they just couldn't find a way to get it done. So that was their weakness last year, and we'll have to see if this group can improve on that. I don't see a lot of big changes. You know, they didn't add that big bat to the middle of the lineup. So they're just going to have to hope that they can perform a little bit better and turn some of those hits into more runs, and that the pitching depth can work out for them. So I have them in second. I think that the talent is there. I think the whole league is competitive, and that's what the Ouija board told me.
That's
a heck of a Ouija board you got there.
Yeah, because it seemed like the way you were going, we were headed downhill into the bottom half of the Central League, and then you finish at second. So that's interesting. Okay, Jim.
Wow, I agree with what Patrick said about the pitching. Although to say that it's deep in play. I guess what I would say is the pitching, the starting rotation is deep in predictability. You know, we have basically four guys with solid track records. We know what to expect, as opposed to deep in reliability. Of course, we have two guys. We have Randy Messenger, who's famous for getting no run support. And then we've got Minoru Iwata, who's famous for getting one run.
Which is next to no run support.
Which is next to no run support, although I think Randy might say he'd take it. So the other thing is, yeah, I agree with that. Now, the problem, I guess the ultimate question for me with the Tigers is Takashi Toritani going to continue to play shortstop? Because unless his knees are 5 years younger.
Or that's play like they're 5 years younger.
Yeah, unless he can play like he before he had knee trouble 3 years ago, I don't see the Tigers improving as a team. His offense is still really rock solid, and their offense is quite good. Matt Mertens is going to hurt. Hig is a solid replacement, and like Patrick said, they have a lot. I think they have a lot of young guys who could fill in. I think Taiga Yagoshi is a quality hitter. They have a lot of quality hitters. Can Kanemoto put the pieces together? Basically, he's challenged the veterans with stepping up. Now, this is a really old team. This is a team that depended very heavily on old players. And if he's asking the veterans to step up, I think he's going in the wrong direction. So I see old teams who didn't play well but finished well doing very badly, and I'm gonna pick them a step lower than I did last year, and I've got them finishing last.
Okay, all right, well, my theme is Big Brother is always watching, and that's the nickname of Kanemoto, the new manager.
Is his number gonna be 1984?
Yeah, not the Orwellian
view. But there's a lot of youth on the team, but it also has a little bit of veteran leadership, and I like that, but I don't think this is going to be a popular statement. I think Toritani is really slowed down. He's aging and losing effectiveness, and in this season where you're going to have really good middle infield play, I think that's a question mark. I didn't say a negative, but it's a question mark for me. They're going to have to prove that they're good. The kids who Kanemoto wants to play in the outfield, and I think Shun Takayama, the kid who was supposed to be drafted or who's originally thought to have been drafted by the Yakult Swallows and then ends up going to the Tigers, I think he's really good. And he can really be change the dynamic of the team. And, you know, I really like what he can bring. But I don't know what he's going to do defensively. I don't know who's going to be playing center every day or if they have a guy they want to put in center every day. I just don't know. There's a lot of unproven players who Kanemoto is going to throw out there and asked to swim. And they also have this kid, Nelson Perez, who I think they brought him up from the Indy Leagues last year, and he's a good hitter. But I don't think he's going to be a good defensive player consistently, and I just don't know if he's going to get enough time in the lineup, but I know he can hit. So I like some of the defense, not all of it. There's just too many question marks. I don't like what I see in the middle of the infield, so I know this is not going to be a popular pick, but I have him finishing fifth. Michael.
I also focused a bit on Big Brother, because while he was playing with the Tigers, I thought that he was a rather, what's a good word?
Aloof.
Aloof might work. He kind of created a strain in the dugout.
How so?
And that's the thing I don't know. It's just the impression that I always had is that while he was playing, he created strain because he was going after the consecutive inning record. And
consecutive innings played record.
Yes. Out in left field until that day when the Bay Stars ran on him going home twice from second base on balls hit to left field. And that the next day he was not announced in the starting lineup to the shock of everybody.
He took himself out. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. And it was very noble of him to take himself out. And I think that may have been the start of him really starting to take responsibility for himself and the team as a whole. One of the other things I noticed was that when he retired, the dugout seemed to really relax. The ball players started playing. They started having fun. And I think that attributed a bit to the Tigers getting better after Kanemoto had left. However, even with all of these negatives that I've always felt about Kanemoto, he is smart. He knows what he's doing, and I don't know, this spring, it seems like the only time I ever watch games, it's been the Tigers. And they have just looked really good to me.
Okay.
So I'm starting to think that maybe Big Brother is a positive influence in the dugout again. I think that he commands respect, and he'll get the respect, and he will find a way to bring the Tigers to first place.
Wow, first place. Wow, nice. Okay. Yeah, you know, I did say something about the fact that he's always been this, like, a military man.
Yes.
And he looks like he was going to be a very strict disciplinarian, and he's been the opposite so far in camp. He had the guys running around and having a good time and running some relay drills and doing other things, and he's been smiling. And of course, when the games start, he has a different look on his face, and you know, so does Alex Ramirez. So I like the way they look in the dugout. But interesting. I like the pick. I like the pick. Let's go to the Hiroshima Carp, and that's me again. So the newcomers are Jason Pridey, Jay Jackson, Oscar Nakashi, Hiroki Yokoyama, and Brandon Hagens. Those are the key guys. Key departures: some guy who packed his bags and went to Hollywood. Ken somebody. Can somebody help me?
No, 008? 008?
Well, I'm going to call him Ray from now on. but that's an inside joke. Kenta Maeda, Deontay Heath, and some other imports. So they didn't really lose that much, right? Right?
the rotation, of course not.
The rotation probably is going to be Chris Johnson, Hiroki Kuroda, Yusuke Nomura, Yuya Fukui, and probably Akitake Okada, and maybe somebody else. And then when Daichi Ohsera gets back, he'll be back in the rotation. If not, they have some other guys that can probably bring out there and run him out. So the strengths, I think Yosuke Kikuchi is fabulous. I still like Kosuke Tanaka at shortstop. The catcher's spot is a little bit unsteady, but the outfield is really good. They have a bunch of guys who can throw, run, and catch the ball. Hopefully they'll have Brad Eldred at first base, and then the outfield will be really, really strong. But despite the questions, I think they have I looked at the numbers. I mean, you look at their OPS as a team, you look at their pitching as a team, you look at their defense as a team, And I can't figure out. I was slapping my head looking at these numbers, trying to figure out how they didn't win the Central League, let alone
miss
the playoffs.
Everybody predicted them in first last year.
Yeah, and you look at what all they have, and they still have a lot of speed. I think they didn't lose anything. So I think it was a test drive for the manager, Koichi Ogata, who comes into his second year. And he drove the bus off the road last year. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. They didn't really have that many injuries, but they didn't have any fatalities with him driving it off the road. So I think he can just drive back on, get back on course. They're going to be a little bit late to the party, but my prediction is that they're going to be the surprise winning team in the Central League.
Ooh, surprises again this year.
Jim.
Yeah, interesting you said that. I think, interestingly enough, one key newcomer, although it's hard to think of him as a newcomer in NPB, but Hector Luna.
Yes.
Could be huge. I think the big fall off last year for the Carp and where they fell short was, of course, I comment a lot on their defense, but it wasn't a lot worse than it was the year before. It was just, I mean, Kikuchi's still very, very good. Maru's still very, very good. But there were a lot of issues. I'm still not a fan. I think Tanaka will be better. A second year as the regular guy. Well, he's entering his
third year.
Yeah, well, he went from half-time to full-time. This will be his second full-time year. I think that will help. That has to help. But the big issue is whether Yosuke Kikuchi finds his bat. Because I think he's been going through the Goodwill bins. I think somebody stole it and sold it for scrap or something. So he's got to come out and hit this year like he had in the past. The other thing is Hector Luna. If the defense is good, Hector Luna is great at third base. Or if they have Hector Luna at third.
Yeah, he's adequate defensively, but he's not great.
No, he's not great, but he's a great addition on the offense.
Yes.
Because the Carp third baseman last year hit as bad. Their pitchers hit. I'm not kidding. The Carp pitchers were almost as good offensively as the third baseman. So that's a huge difference. Hector Luna versus pitchers.
Yep.
Okay, so that's a huge difference. Brad Eldred is healthy this year. He did an excellent job coming back from some minor ligament damage in his knee. Jason Pridey could be quite good. He seems like a very level-headed guy, which is of zero value, when the game starts. I shouldn't say zero, but my pick is that the Carp are going to finish second. Well, actually, as I told you, my pick was that the Carp would finish first.
You're confusing us.
Yeah, my original pick was that they were going to finish first, but I put the Giants ahead. I have them second, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did win it all.
Okay, interesting. Michael.
Okay, my completely non-algorithmic, fully emotional pick, after having picked them for first place last year, is to drop them into sixth.
I saw that coming.
Boink and doink. Get out of here with that.
It's like, take that.
Yes, exactly.
Take that, you failures.
That's what they did to me last year.
Were you in one of the gambling scandals, Michael?
Wait, what? Huh? Me? No, not at all.
Michael says, I don't even know how to gamble.
Apparently not.
Hashtag high.
All right. He's throwing the kid out with the water. All right, Patrick.
I'm sorry, Michael. So I actually am kind of with West Bay on this one, Mr. West Bay. I have Hiroshima fifth, but that said, I think they could win it all if they play better than they did last year. I think the questions for me are will the real Kikuchi please stand up? Is he the guy who hit 255 last year or whatever it was, or is he the guy who hit 325 in 2014 and was my MVP pick? The other thing is Maeda is a huge loss for them. Osera, we'll see when he gets back or if he gets back this year. That's another big loss for them. Osera was kind of the guy that I had penciled in to fill Maeda's shoes when he eventually left. So the question is...
Yeah, a lot of people had him filling my...
I never saw him that way. I thought he was going to step up and be a good number three, but I actually thought with Chris Johnson, I thought he was going to be the man, but they decided...
Well, I didn't know about Chris until last year.
Right.
But Osera has a good arm. There's no question about it. And it's unrealistic to expect him to be Maeda, you know, two Sawamura awards and, you know, one of the top five pitchers in Japan. But to have a guy waiting in the wings that could do 80% of that is pretty good. So I did see him as a number one, number two type. And now they have to rely on Okada, Yokoyama, Jackson, Higgins, and see if they can find enough quality innings among those guys to make up for the loss of Maeda. For me, the other question mark is Eldred. You remember in 2014, the Carp were doing great until Interleague, basically, and Eldred really carried that team, and then he went on this horrible slump in August and got demoted, and the Carp were never the same after that. And last year, he was kind of a non-factor. And if he's healthy and he's hitting like he was in 2014, this team could really make a big push for first. But I have him in fifth. It was just the way it came out, and we'll see at the end of the year if that's right or not.
Okay, interesting. We got some varying opinions about the Carp, but again, this league was so close last year. You could be 10 games behind and be in last place, or maybe it might even be closer this year. You might, but 14 and a half games was the difference last year between the first place team and the last place team. So. All right, up next are the Dragons, and I'm happy to say that Jim is going to take this one this year.
Well, I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad somebody's happy about that.
I know. I'm happy too, Jim.
I'm not giving them away. I'm just giving opportunities.
Is that what this is? You give opportunities to people who, you know, the Dragons were the first team this spring who I said, I will not go and see when they come. Well, actually, it was a choice. I had a choice to either go watch Shohei Ohtani pitch or go and see the Dragons in Chiba.
I'm all about the opportunities, dude.
Thank you, man. Okay, so having said that, and having I know about as little as about the Dragons as probably any team in NPB. I think the key newcomers here are having a full-time manager instead of a two-man tag team.
Yeah.
In Motonobu Tanishige. We'll see what he can do when he's... Well, I mean, to be honest, he really was the full-time manager last year, caught occasionally.
Right.
So we'll see how that plays out. And I guess pitcher Jordan Norberto,
yes,
who through Thursday had a 1.11 whip in his spring starts, or his spring games, I should say. I don't know if he's always been starting.
Right.
So the key departure, I think, has got to be Hector Luna.
Yep.
Big bat, but always a health question, which is actually a good thing for Hiroshima in the sense that when Hector is not playing, they can use one of their two other new pitchers.
Right.
Because we were discussing how are they going to get Pridey and Eldred, Johnson, and more than two of the other pitchers and Hector Luna all on the field at the same time as A, they can't. So Hector Luna will probably provide opportunities for his teammates because he's a former Dragon and he's all about opportunities.
Oh, gosh.
So anyway, I see the rotation as being Yudai Ono, Drew Naylor.
Right.
Jordan Norberto, or probably Jordan Norberto. I haven't spoken to him. Hmm. So, and then after that, good luck.
I know that guy.
You do.
Good pitcher.
Well, I think a possibility is Tatsuro Hamada, who's been stretched out to be a starter.
Right, the lefty.
Yep, and Wakamatsu, if he was a change-making machine last year. I think he's been malfunctioning a little bit in the spring. I think it takes him a little longer to get it, you know, to reclaim his role.
Yeah, I think he's trying to establish the fastball in the preseason so he can start throwing his changeup off of his changeup in the regular season.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with his fastball, as we talked about last year. Is that he throws some good ones, and he thinks that that's going to get by. So he'll probably shake out of that, and then we have, of course, old unreliable Daisuke Yamai. And I that's really mean. I actually like Daisuke Yamai. I think he's great. It's just
he actually follows the pattern of a lot of other pitchers who seem to have no control on occasion, and it's that lack of control that totally fools the batters into giving him a no-hitter.
Sure.
Yeah, well, it hasn't been fooling him so far this year, but okay.
Yeah, his pitches are a wild card. He don't know where they're going. The batters don't know where they're going, and sometimes that works out. Okay, as far as strengths, I love the late development of Yosuke Hirata. He's coming on as a leader. He's established him. He had a great Premier 12. He had a great impact against Taiwan this month. I think he's going to – you know, he's had a kind of a disappointing spring, but I think he's going to be the Dragons' big guy. Oshima was going to be that guy. He ain't. I like the team youth. I have picked them fourth.
Okay. Every year, and, you know, I've always gotten nice words or nice messages from all you guys about my Dragons and all this stuff. And recently they've been down. You know, we joked about how old they were, I think it was 3 years ago, that they could, you know, the starting infield was over 200 years of experience on the field or something like that. It was just kind of crazy. They're weak in just about every area. It's hard to put together a rotation. It's hard to put together a starting lineup that's going to play every day. They don't have that much pop. They have some speed. They last year were below average defensively. Gosh, I can't see anything good. I just think the fact that Tanishige is going to have to sit behind the bench and watch this every day, and the fact that they competed for a while last season, they were in first place at some point. That it was sometime in April, I think it was.
Hey, the Bay Stars were in first place at the All-Star break, man.
Well, yeah, that's true too. So, you know, they have some good arms. They have some interesting pieces. Shinosuke Ogasawara, the new pitcher, the rookie pitcher, I think they're going to just have to put him out there. I don't think he's really ready. Kid coming out of high school, he's ready physically with the legs. He's got really good a good base to pitch from. So he just might have to learn on the job, but I can't really see them moving up from last year. And based on the fact that other teams seem to have gotten better, I picked them last.
Patrick. Yeah, I have them last, too. I don't think the talent is there. I don't think the depth is there. But to counterpoint Jim a little bit, I'll throw out a couple of names. Kazuki Yoshimi, who was a good splitter pitcher a few years ago, came back last year with 48 innings of 0.94 ERA ball.
Yep.
Shota Oba, a reclamation project from SoftBank.
There you go again.
Your Ouija needs fixing, man.
Going to go out Arakaki, Arakaki, and Naruse, and all these guys who are missing.
Yeah, no, Shota Oba. Where's Shota Oba and Arakaki?
It's Yagi. It's Tomoyo Yagi.
Yagi was the other one.
Tomoyo Yagi. Well, he was my guy last year because he was so good in the spring, and he had 12 good innings.
If Yagi would have pitched against the Carp every time, he would have won the Sawamura Award.
That's true.
He was something like 6-0 against them and completely dominant and was absolutely miserable against everyone else.
That's the thing. If you throw pitches outside the zone, what against the Carp, you get no hits and four walks by Maru.
Okay.
If nothing else, Oba is a guy I've wanted to see do well for a while, and I don't know how many ligaments he has left in his body, but once upon a time he had great stuff, and if this is a chance for him to get on the mound again, that would be fun. But no, I don't think the talent's there. I don't think the depth is there. I have him in last.
Okay, Michael.
I think I did get a little carried away with my emotions when I was talking about Hiroshima. I actually have Hiroshima in fifth. Yeah. And that's only because I have the Dragons in last.
So you have them last of the real team, then.
Yeah. How much more can you say about the Dragons? They almost are invisible.
They're almost invisible.
What I like about the Dragons, and I guess I'll add this, and I mentioned it in past years, and what I like about Tanishige and Mori is they're very open-minded to playing young guys. They have some young fast guys. One of the things the Dragons do that is interesting, I think more than good, it's interesting, and could be very useful this year, is they're probably the best base running team in Japan.
Hmm.
And their best...
Was it my imagination, or is Morino playing first base this year?
If he's not, he's trying to play third, but I think he's going to be at first.
Yeah, I think he's not going to play that much.
To be making the base paths any less jammed up.
No, but as a team.
Team speed, yeah.
Yeah, nobody's as good as them. Nobody's as good as taking extra bases, and nobody's as good, and this is the one thing they do, is they pay very careful attention to giving away bases to other teams. So when it comes to that base game, the Dragons are really good at it. Now, if that is an advantage, and I don't know if it is, and if the home plate rules open up a route for that to mean more runs, then the Dragons are best positioned to exploit that. Now, how valuable that is, maybe a win or two at the most.
All right.
Anyway.
All right, Bay Stars, Michael Westbay.
Okay, newcomers. The biggest newcomer is Imanaga, who a couple of podcast stars last year had all kinds of praise for. He's Bay Stars' number one draft pick in last fall's draft. And he, along with Kumahata, were number one, number two draft picks, and most likely will be starting quite a few games for Yokohama. Imanaga has already been named the home opener on the fourth game of the season.
They're going to call him Mr. Home Opener?
Ooh.
He's a starter for the home opener. Okay.
Yeah.
And who are the other newcomers?
Other newcomers are Romek from the Diamondbacks,
Jamie
Petrick
yep.
from Cardinals AAA team, and
Alex Ramirez, maybe?
Well, the manager, Nami-chan, coming back is a newcomer if you want to consider the manager. And it's probably good to consider him because he has really been a lot of hands-on throughout the spring. He's been calling the pitches from the dugout, and I think that more than anything, has been helping the pitchers really lower their ERA. During spring, I don't expect a very good ERA. I don't expect it to be too emblematic of the season as a whole, but it seems to me that some of the pitchers have learned to put more balls on the ground instead of in the air where they give up home runs.
Okay, now who are some of the key departures?
Key departures are Baldurus, who's going to KBO with Samsung, and then a couple of Ikse, or developmental players, for this year are Tamura, who really didn't do much for the Bay Stars last year. He's gone to Chunichi, and Atori, a pitcher for the Bay Stars, who's I've kind of liked him, not necessarily due to what he's done, but he's shown some promise on the mound, but that he was released and signed a developmental contract with Oryx.
Okay, what about the rotation?
Yamaguchi has been named the opening day starter, but he's also had, was it ankle problems or thigh problems?
He's got a lower body issue. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a week to get over that. Otherwise, Kubo, Ino, Imanaga, Petrick, Moscoso, and of course, he's a closer, not in the starting rotation, but Yamasaki is back. And he, more than anything, has made the starters feel like they can make it. He's given me the feeling that I had when Daimajin was closing, Sasaki.
Kazuhiro Sasaki, the Daimajin, yeah. Okay.
Yamasaki Komajin, the small...
The small Daimajin.
Yeah, the small
big good.
That's what I nicknamed him that last year. I'm glad you remember, and I'm glad you like
that's
that.
That's what he was listening.
Nagashima, when he was manager of the Giants, he said of Sasaki you only have 8 innings to score against the Bay Stars. And that's what I see with Yamasaki at the end of the game. Is okay. You only have 8 innings to score against the Bay Stars.
All right, so you consider that in one of the strengths?
That's definitely one of the strengths.
What else?
Other strengths are long ball. Lopez, Tsutsugo, and Romac in numbers 3, 4, and 5. And, you know, none of the experts have said it, but I really think that their pitching is kind of a sleeper strength. Many people don't really consider the Bay Stars as having a good pitching rotation, but last year, as well as so far in the spring, they really haven't been giving up very many runs, which I find very promising.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that has that much to do with the rotation and more to do with the entire staff, because nobody's really pitching all that long. But, you know, you didn't talk about Yoshiki Tsunade. I think he might end up in the rotation at some point.
And, yeah, he's more long relief, I thought. But, yes, we've got several other people. I also didn't mention Miura, who will definitely get a few starts this year.
Daisuke Miura. That's Patrick, one of his favorite players, as I recall.
Yep, that's one of my guys.
Yep, okay. All right, what about weaknesses?
Weaknesses, you know, for the longest time, I've considered pitching a weakness, but that started to change last year. We have not had a real steady catcher since Tanishige left a couple decades ago. And Kurobane and Takajo have both shown a little bit of promise as taking over as the main catcher, but Tobashira is coming from NTT West in last fall's draft. He may just take the spot, and he's got a really good arm from what I've seen, and I'm starting to think that the weakness that has been catcher for oh so long may finally start seeming up.
So you haven't told us a weakness yet.
Scoring ability.
Scoring, you know, ability.
Despite the power of Lopez, Tsutsugo, and Romac in the 3-4-5, they just have not been scoring runs. When the pitchers throw deep, they have not scored for them. It seems like for a long time, we've just come up one run short. Mm. One run short, and it's just getting that one final run to come over that has been a weakness for a long time.
Okay, and where do you see him finishing?
I see them finishing number 3.
Third, okay. Jim?
As I've said too many times, the Yokohama Stadium masks the Bay Stars' abilities, and their pitching has tended to be better than their hitting. When everybody thinks, well, they scored this many runs, so they must be able to hit, when that's largely a factor of their ballpark. I didn't think their hitting was that good last year. I didn't think their pitching was that good last year, but their pitching wasn't the worst, despite what the numbers looked. Their hitting wasn't that good, despite what the numbers looked like. Their fielding wasn't. They didn't really have the numbers of a last place team. They had the numbers of a fifth place team.
Hashtag high.
Well, in the sense that they weren't really the worst at anything. You know, there were a few things they were bad at.
They didn't deserve to be last. They should be moved up one spot.
So I have them fifth. I do like, as I commented before you guys joined us about Tobashira and how much that Alex Ramirez is fond of his ability to call pitches. I think that is the center, you know, that's Alex, the center of Alex Ramirez's world is calling pitches. Now, the other thing is Yoshitomo Tsutsugo. This guy has grown by leaps and bounds. Yoshihiro Maro told me that the one player he watches when he's with the national team and studies how he responds to pitchers is Tsutsugo.
Yeah, he also spent the winter in the Dominican Republic.
He
says that he learned a lot while he was there. And I think he said several times that he didn't want to return to Japan after that.
I think that was the food.
Ah, okay.
All right. Some of that was the food and some of that was the weather.
Yeah,
okay, but yeah, what a great player he's become. And the other one is I'll mention my birthday guy is Huma Matsui.
Yeah.
And Ramirez, this is a guy who's got a really powerful lower body, and he's got a fairly nice swing, and I think he's gonna impress people. Ramirez seems to think he's basically the guy who's the guy who doesn't have a regular job, who's first in line to get one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think actually the Bay Stars are the most interesting team in the league. They could finish last, and I could make a case for them winning the title. I think that they could have the best offense in the league if they follow the Yakult gambit, which is to have one of the best hitters in the league, in their case, Tsutsugo, a good bat behind him, which would be Lopez. And what they need is the on-base machine in front of them, which they don't currently have. And I think they need Kajitani to be that guy. I could see
Kajitani needs to be healthy too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he needs a full season, and he's the best candidate. The other guy would be Aranami, who can get on base, but also doesn't play a full season. So, if they had an on base machine, like a performant Matt Merton, with Tsutsugo and Lopez driving in those runs, I think they could be the top offense in the league. The risk, of course, is that they just have too many spots in the lineup that provide no offense. Takajo, you can knock the bat out of his hands. The rotation and the bullpen, again, I think they've always had a few guys who are okay, but the worst pitchers in their staff have kind of brought them down. So it's just a matter of finding enough quality innings among Moscoso, Petrick, Imanaga, Kuniyoshi, Tsunada, Mishima, Ino, Kubo, Miura, all of these guys, and if they can somehow form this into a staff that is about average or close to average, I think they could really contend. So I have them third.
All right, I see better preparation. I see more accountability, improved approaches because of Ramirez behind on the bench. I'm hoping that Jose Lopez has a better season because I thought he could have been better at the plate. I think he was pretty good defensively. I like the arms. I like the infield. I like most of the guys in the outfield, maybe with the exception of Tsutsugo and his arm. I think they're just average. But I like to pick the surprises, and this one I'm going to pick a surprise and pick them for second place. Now I want to read some of the other guys' predictions. Jason Koskery, who was on the show last week, had the Giants, Swallows, Carp, Bay Stars, Tigers, and Dragons. I think everybody's got the Dragons finishing in last, and this is just brings me back to last season when we all had the Carp finishing first. I think we're going to be wrong on this.
I got the Dragons.
Sorry, that's right. Just about everybody. Okay. That's right. You had them. Where did you have them, Jim? I'm sorry.
Fourth.
I have it here. Fourth. Yeah. All right. NPB Reddit has the Giants, the Swallows, the Carp, the Tigers, the Bay Stars, and the Dragons finishing last. Claudio Rodriguez, who was also on the show last week, has the Swallows winning it again. So a repeat. Take that, Michael West Bay. The Bay Stars, the Giants, the Tigers, the Carp, and the Dragons. And Wayne Grassick, our old buddy, has the Bay Stars winning it all.
Yay!
Then the Swallows, the Giants, the Tigers, Carp, and he put your Dragons. So everybody's so nice to me.
For Dragons.
They're so nice to me, and I always appreciate it. So that's it. That's our predictions. And, I love opening day. I can't wait for it to come around. Thank you very much, NPB Tracker Patrick Newman. And thank you, Michael West Bay, for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Listeners,
thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, guys. And thank you, Jim Allen, as always.
Oh, thank you.
You can send us an email at YAKYUJOHN. Hit us up on Twitter at JBWPodcast. And let us know your favorite opening day moments before opening day on Friday. Games are going to start. I'm really excited. Let's have a great season, guys.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Bye.
Let's do it.
All right, enjoy your baseball.
Live and exclusive from around the globe, America's network for global sports, One World Sports. One World Sports is the place to discover top competition, including the Yomiuri Giants, the Yankees of Japan, Nippon Professional Baseball's Climax Series, Europe's iconic soccer clubs, Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Juventus, plus NASL's greatest soccer franchise, the 2015 champion New York Cosmos. This is One World Sports. Watch One World Sports on your TV, tablet, or smartphone. One World Sports, a sports network like no other.